your knights are in another castle. All your base are belong to us. It's dangerous to go alone. Listen to this. The Knights of the Game Table Podcast.
This is the Knights of the Game Table Podcast, episode number one, Hubbum Beginnings. I am your host, Marcus. On this episode, we discuss games we're excited about. On this panel, joining us from the Temple of Geek are Daniel and Stacy, and our outside guest joining us on this episode is Nate. How are you doing today, guys?
Doing good.
Great.
Doing great.
Yeah, first episodes. Woo!
Spring break!
Woo!
Essentially, this is what the title of the episode is exactly what we're going to be doing. It's what we're going to be talking about is things we're excited about. So this isn't like exclusive to like anything, any new games that just came out or any games that are coming out. Like if you are excited about a game that came out 20 years ago, let's talk about it.
Sounds
and,
good.
And again, I'd like to welcome Nate. Maybe he will be on future episodes, and we can dub the a knight as well.
Yes, indeed.
So, who wants to start?
Well, I'll start.
I'll start.
Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
Okay.
I've got the floor.
Well, I've got a few games, actually, that I'm excited about. I'll start first with, I guess, an older game to go into a new one. I actually have started playing Final Fantasy, the Final Fantasy IV, I believe, is the actual number that in Japan.
My favorite game.
And yeah, I just downloaded it on Steam, and I was excited. I was trying to play Chrono Trigger, but they don't have it. But anyway, I started playing it again. What were you gonna say?
I was just saying all about the Chrono Trigger.
I know. I wish they had it, but they didn't. So I settled for that, and it got me fired up again. So I started looking, because I've really been out of the loop on Final Fantasy. And I haven't been into it. I tried to play Final Fantasy 11 and 12, did not like them. But this next one that's coming out actually is going back to a lot of the old... the older themes, they've got a lot of the older writers and the music and everything is coming back and stuff that I really enjoyed from the first ones. So Final Fantasy, I think it's 15.
Yes.
Supposed to be much more open world, adding a little bit more action to the RPG as it kind of evolved, but going back to random encounters and stuff. So I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that one.
So, I mean... Like, I know every time I bring up Final Fantasy to anybody, they're always like, well, anybody who says they don't like it, they say the same thing, and it's like, oh, well, I don't like games where I have to take turns to fight.
Oh, yeah.
And they totally changed that whole battle perspective with the ATB gauge?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, those games have totally changed, and they are so much more fun than... Then I mean, not to say that the old ones aren't fun, but to me, they are so much more fun when they're not in a turn base.
See, and I think that if that's what you grew up on, like I grew up on those from the very first one that came out,
right.
And so like when they changed from that, it really bothered me. Like I was like, I don't know if I can. It's like you're changing my game, and it just didn't seem like Final Fantasy anymore. Just because you put chocobos in it doesn't mean it's Final Fantasy, you know? And so I was like, this is not a Final Fantasy game. But they're getting back to some of those things, and so I'm looking forward to that to that particular game. So, anybody else looking forward? What's something else one of you guys is looking forward to?
Nate, you were trying to talk.
Yeah,
about
Nate,
it.
What were you looking forward to?
Well, I haven't researched this game in a while, but The Division is one that I've kind of on and off been keeping my eyes on.
Oh, yes.
And this game is definitely going places if they keep up the work that they've been showing us. I mean, not only does it look completely next-gen, but I just really like just the genre that they're kind of creating here. Like they're kind of mixing survival elements that have really been popular lately, especially with also a third person shooter, but it's also multiplayer. So all three of those things in one game kind of blows my mind, and I'm really excited to see if they can pull it off. I mean, after watching some of the trailers and some of the in-game footage, I mean, it's like eye candy, and I need to do some more research on it, but it's definitely going to be a big one, I hope.
Yeah, definitely. That, I mean, because I remember when they showed the first trailer in E3, I think it was in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited about that game, and I really hate when that happens. And I know that sounds really weird, but it's like, I don't like being excited about something and then having to wait several years for it to come out.
Definitely in the same boat there.
So, I mean, but, like, they're supposed to have areas where, I don't know if it's areas, but maps that are, that can contain 50 to 100 players. So, I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be similar to, not like, but similar to PlanetSide 2, if, I don't know if y'all have ever played that.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah, so, like, I mean, if you don't know what PlanetSide is, it's pretty much a first-person shooter where they have, like, I don't even know, that probably holds, like, 300 people in the same giant map, and it's sort of like a King of the Hill-based type game, so.
Large game table, multiple objectives, and the battle's never ending.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know if it would be, like I said, like that, but it's kind of similar to, which is,
right.
I mean, it's pretty exciting to me. So.
Oh, yeah. And also, I mean, they're also introducing, I mean, of course, there are the player versus environment elements to the game that they've sort of shown us in some of their trailers, which also look cool because you get to play with your friends and find cool gear and stuff. But they've also advertised that it will that player versus environment with your friends will seamlessly transition into a multiplayer pitched battle with another team just like yours at a moment's notice if you come across another team. Or at least that's how they painted the picture in the trailer. I'm not sure how accurate that is. My imagination might be embellishing.
Well, that's... I may have missed it, but is this like a first-person shooter?
It's a third-person shooter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks really good. I mean, the in-game photos and everything, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks really amazing, and I mean, I don't know. If you get a chance, you should definitely take a look at the gameplay footage that they've released for that game. It looks so awesome, and it's also like based in the future, so you can use like different sorts of gadgets and stuff that are I don't know. They're just really cool.
They've also talked about one of their trailers. They showed one of those new gadgets is sort of a mini like drone sort of thing. But it can be player-controlled using an iPad. And so you can jump into your buddy's game and be like, hey, I'm going to spot these guys for you in a few minutes because I'm on my lunch break at work or something. I don't know if that's true. That's just how I imagine it. And, like, spot him, knock him out, and then you're like, okay, see, I need to go back to work. You know? But that's
pretty awesome,
definitely
though.
What they talked about. And it definitely seems pretty awesome. I liked the idea, at least.
So, that seems like they're really integrating. I mean, I think that's showing you how games are changing. They're really evolving to where you're never not playing.
Yeah. And the only thing that scares me with a game like this is I think sometimes they can overhype themselves, and especially the gaming community that's really following the news, and sometimes they just overhype it. So I hope it's going to be one of those games that delivers and redefines the industry. Much like some of Ubisoft's other games have.
Evolve.
Well, one more thing I'd like to mention before we move on is that when the Division was first announced, it was only going to come out on the Xbox One and the PS4. And this pissed off the PC gaming community to no end. You have no idea. Like, there was like this... I don't know how many signatures they got, but they got this huge petition signed, and they presented it to Ubisoft, and
And now it's being released on, you know, a PS4, Xbox One, and PC, which with no doubt applies to the pushbacks that this game has been given so many times. Over the last couple of years, on when it's going to be released. So, but I'm excited because I'm definitely going to get it on PC.
It's going to be a good game, sure.
So, speaking of Evolve, have any of you played it?
I watched a thorough in-game review, and that thing has flopped, unfortunately. It's a bit of a flop.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot, or not screenshots, but reviews of it at, what do you call it, the gameplay of it during the E3 conference last year, and I was not impressed with it, so.
I didn't see the appeal, really.
See, but I thought the idea of it, much like y'all are talking about The Division, the idea of it sounds fantastic. I mean, it really does seem like a good idea.
Very refreshing.
A better idea than Titanfall. I mean, a better, I don't know, multiplayer experience, but I don't think it's really delivered the way they thought it would.
Yeah, not at all.
I was so excited for Titanfall. It's the reason why I bought an Xbox One, and I was very disappointed.
On principle, that is exactly why I didn't.
I even bought the Titanfall Edition one, the one that had the pretty box.
Oh, sad panda.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before we move on to more exciting things, because I guess technically we're not supposed to be focusing on the depressing stuff like Evolve, but The Order 1886 is a very cool game that just released, mostly because of the eye candy value. I saw a video on it, and oh my gosh, the lamps in that game look real. I'm just saying, like, there's like rain droplets, the flame looks like it's animated like a real freaking candle or something. But anyways, that blew my mind. The rest of the game apparently isn't that great, such as the AI. But
I was going to say that I've heard mixed things. I've heard that most of the knock on it is just the length. That's just kind of the word, is how long it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's a little short, but also the ending I heard was really terrible. apparently the writers made a bad decision. But also I watched videos on the in-game AI, and the writers made a mistake when they decided to focus on the human enemy rebellion and not so much on the werewolf side of it.
Right.
Because, you know, you're supposed to be... the secret order that's out there to kill,
supernatural.
Yeah, the supernatural sort of enemies that, you know, normal people can't face. And unfortunately, like, the majority of the game is not that. And when you do, the AI are so horribly programmed that they have been set on a specific path to run at you. And if you dodge that with a single button press, it will then retreat to that same position and repeat the exact same animation. And so you just dodge it, shoot it a little bit, dodge it again, shoot it a little bit until he dies, and it completely removes you out of the
game. So is it the same way on all difficulties, though?
Yeah, no, it's just terrible AI.
You know, I wonder, well, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was just saying that you can tell that they definitely put the majority of their efforts into making the game look fantastic, which they undoubtedly succeeded at. However, their AI has surely suffered because of it.
Well, do you know, I don't know, did you guys play Deus Ex Human Revolution?
I did not, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't play that either.
Good. It's a great game. It is a really great game. Until you get to the boss fights. And like the gameplay is, it kind of revolves around, you can kind of develop your player the way you want to, and so it's got an RPG elements. That if you want to be more thief-like or stealthy, you can do that and develop those skills. And if you want to go in guns blazing, you can do that. But when you get to the boss fights, the game the fight dynamics are completely different. And what they did is they sent that part of the game to another studio. So they developed the general gameplay, and then the boss fights were all sent to someone else. So they had the engine, and they just created the boss fights. So it's a completely different gameplay. And it was incredibly frustrating. So when you get to those boss fights, much like what you were saying with the AI there, It was like you're playing a different game. And so there were boss fights I didn't finish until much later because I didn't want to break my Xbox just by throwing it out the window. That I had to come back, you know, like months later to play as because of that. The gameplay is completely different. So maybe that's what they did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel.
Well, there's so much coming out actually this year that I'm really excited about, but there's two games in particular that I will probably be, once they come out, I'll probably be locked up in a room somewhere and y'all won't see me for a while. First one is June 2nd, Batman Arkham Knight.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one looks pretty
cool. We're finally going to get the conclusion to the Arkham trilogy.
With the prequel.
What's that?
I said with the prequel.
With the prequel, that origin what was it? Batman Origins, Arkham Origins. Yeah, yeah. That was a total letdown.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm really looking forward to Arkham Knight. It just everything I've seen about the game so far is just making me like I can't wait for June. I will not see Avengers. I'll play that game. You know, so the second one that I'm like super, super stoked about is Star Wars Battlefront.
Battlefront.
That's the third one, right?
Yes, Battlefront 3 is finally coming out. And, that game looks amazing from what I've just a little bit that they showed. I mean, there's just been little teases here and there. I know Stacey's a huge Star Wars fan.
Absolutely.
You ever play any of the Battlefront games?
I was about to ask you if you had. I did, and I did enjoy it. But it's kind of like, you know, when you're in an abusive relationship and you go back and you play that game and you're playing as the droids and you can't help but feel, I felt this guilt and this shame and all of these things that I just didn't feel like I could enjoy it. But there were really good things about the first Battlefront, but I think you could tell there were things that they left out. That maybe they couldn't fit into the game that I hear they're putting into the new one. So I haven't read up a whole lot about it. In fact, I thought that it was still a myth, so I'm glad to hear that it's not.
Yeah, it's definitely not a myth. I was not a big fan of the second one. I was actually more of a fan of the first one.
Yeah.
I do agree with you. There was some things that there was left out of that original game, but I think we're going to see a lot of that stuff be added to this game and a whole lot more, and this game's just, I'm just excited.
That's good, yeah. Well, what about the Batman game you were saying? That's got a mature tag on it, doesn't it?
Did they
rated it M, or at least really? Adult. I'm not sure. We may want to reference that, but I think that was kind of big news that they rated it M.
Hmm.
This Batman's going to be lighting people on fire again.
Yes.
He'll be cussing.
He'll actually kill someone.
Yeah, I was about to say, no, just go to, what is it, Tim Burton's, the Batman sequel.
Yeah, IGN reports that it was rated M. That's wow.
Interesting.
Man.
Maybe we'll see some gruesome deaths.
Yeah, I guess Batman's just fed up. He's like, that's it. Everybody's dead. I'm done.
It's rated M because of Harley Quinn.
Okay,
Harley Quinn. You also get Red Hood if you pre-order.
Oh, wow.
Along with Harley Quinn. You get to play as both of them. So, like, I think they're going to go back with that. Did they do it in Arkham Origins where you could go back and play as different characters? I don't think they did they?
Yeah, I think they just gave you the costumes in that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so all the different costumes.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I stopped playing it like right after I freaking beat Deathstroke.
Hey, how long did it take you to do that?
Oh, my God, it took forever.
That fight was a serious letdown for me.
But to me, it was a war of attrition because all it was a repeated movement. You just had to get it down. You just had to get it down.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you see Batman fight Deathstroke in one of the trailers, and he was like on a train car in the snow, and the fight looked super intense and stuff, but I don't know. It just seemed like you were going to have to work really hard to get to fight Deathstroke. And then they put him near the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And then that was the only time you fought him.
Yeah. And you backhand him, and it's over, and then you're like, what?
And then you see him later on in the game, and you're like,
I was like, yeah, I beat him. I was like, how did you beat him?
Well, I didn't think that one was as frustrating. That was frustrating. That was almost a controller throwing moment. But I think
I was playing the game on hard.
Ah, well, there you go. What was the Copperhead? Copperhead had me.
That fight frustrated me too, but I loved every minute of it.
A good frustration. Well, that's not a bad thing.
It was fun. Like, she created copies of herself, and you got to fight like 20 people. Like, that game is at its most fun to me when you have to fight like 20 people, and then you've got to put off this like 100 hit combo.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
That is so much fun. I love that.
That is pretty awesome, too. I'm sure there's YouTube videos of it, but it just proves, I mean, how incredibly awesome Batman is. It solidifies it. If you just pull off one of those 65, 75 hit combos with 25 people around you, it's so fluid. It's like, that could almost happen.
Yeah, it was really great. And then they came out with like the very latest DLC where it was like you got this exo suit and it looked super badass, but I totally didn't play it enough to like I got to the point where I unlocked the suit and I was like, "Oh, this is awesome." And then for some reason I never played it again.
So much worse. I got like 9 of the Riddler's trophies. I'm like, I'm not even looking for them. No. If I can't get it easily, I'm like going to the next thing.
Yeah, I remember the first game, Arkham Asylum. You know, I was like a completionist. I got all the Riddler trophies. I found all the puzzles.
Wow.
I did all that stuff.
I did that on Arkham City.
I didn't do that in Arkham City, and I wasn't going to do that in Origins.
I just don't have the patience for all of that stuff, honestly. Like, yeah, ever since Arkham Asylum, I was like, I'm not going to do all this. I'm like, I'll get it if it's on the way, but no, I'm not going to go out of my way to do it.
No, I'm definitely looking forward to that one as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I won't bring it all up here, but I'm also excited about several Nintendo games, but, you know, none of y'all are Nintendo fans, so.
Oh, I'm a huge Nintendo fan, man. You're speaking my language, too. Yeah.
Yeah, you got Star Fox, and you got Mario Party, and some other stuff, so.
I tell you what, Mario Party's a lot like Monopoly, where somebody just wants to flip the board at the end.
Yeah.
Dude, you just hit power. Piss me off so much. Oh, my gosh.
There's usually somebody who's wrecking everybody else, and then he, like, somehow loses everything in the end because, like, at the end you get extra stars for being the shittiest character and all this stuff. Yeah.
Here you go for being terrible, yeah.
And then you're that welcome. Person wins. It's like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's Nintendo socialism. That's what it is.
Oh, man.
So, now, have you... I don't mind talking about Nintendo, but I was going to say there's a couple betas coming out, or one beta. I am a huge Blizzard fanboy, and I have been since Lost Vikings and back in the 90s, and I loved that game, and everything that they put out has been golden. I mean, they literally can print money at this point with WoW. And... so one of the games that I'm actually looking forward to is Overwatch. Have y'all looked at this or seen this game?
I haven't seen that.
Overwatch. Yeah, it's about it. The beta is going to be out soon, and I'm sure I'm not getting in it. But it's it's much like Team Fortress. And one thing Blizzard does, in my opinion, better than anybody in the game, they're like the 3M of video games. You make a product, and they're going to make your product better. Like, you make a real-time strategy game, they're going to make one, and it's better than yours, and you're just like, you know, what can you do? Because they just made a better product than yours. And so everything they come out with, whether it's an MMO, real-time strategy, and now they're coming out with this team-based third-person, you know, shooter games, and where you have the classes and everything. So if you get a chance to look at the gameplay cinematic intro, it's actually pretty it's pretty fantastic what they're doing. I'm looking forward to that.
I also heard that they canceled Project Titan.
They did.
So I mean that's that's got to be the like a really heavy hit for them because they put a ton of time into developing that.
Yeah,
and,
I mean that was
we never saw anything of it.
That shows you how powerful they are, too. There's nothing. There's not a screenshot.
Yeah, I mean, even a screenshot.
And Titan probably wasn't even its name, obviously.
Yeah.
So it was like whatever it was in its inception and to wherever they got to in the process, there is nothing of it. So it's like it never existed. So, yeah. No, but I'm looking forward to that. Batman and Final Fantasy. Those are three games I'm definitely looking forward to.
What y'all didn't know was Blizzard's Titan was a collaboration with Activision and Titanfall.
Oh. And they saw it. Yeah, they saw how it fell on its face. They're like, no, we're deciding not to do this.
They walked into that board meeting and they just took one look at the projector screen and they were like, okay, bye guys.
Yeah, all right. I want my name taken off of that.
Yeah, instead, they spent money on building a World of Warcraft chopper instead. They were
like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
We're going to go with the helicopter.
That's right, yeah.
Well, Marcus, you quizzed all of us. What are you looking forward to this year?
The game I'm looking forward to answer your question specifically.
Payday?
I can't be looking forward to it if it's already out. So
true.
Yeah. Many days spent in that game.
Yeah, I will talk about Payday, but I'm going to save it. I'm surprised none of y'all mentioned Mortal Kombat X.
See, and I'm not a fight game fan, and I know that that makes me a grandpa. I'm just never one. I've never liked it. Like not Final Fantasy. Street Fighter. The Street Fighter games.
So disappointed.
Street Fighter and Marvel versus Capcom. Love those two. I liked Killer Instinct, but I never got into. And I'll tell you why I never got into Mortal Kombat, and it's because the damn moves are too freaking hard.
Dude, they're complicated.
I could never get a fatality. I would like look like a big retard trying to do what I'm doing, and then you know end up you're convulsing, like you have a seizure, and then the guy falls over, and you're just like you look so stupid, and I'm like yeah. So
yeah, I don't know. I've always enjoyed watching other people play those games. Like they're a lot of fun to watch. But, I can't play those things to save my life. I suck.
Yeah.
I was hoping to go this entire podcast without mentioning, or this entire episode, I'm sorry, without mentioning Street Fighter V.
Well, I mean, it's a very raw subject since it's...
Well,
I still can't believe they put Street Fighter as an exclusive.
What's it for Xbox?
It's only
no, it's exclusive only to PlayStation. That's why I'm very upset because I have an Xbox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, too, a game I'm definitely super excited about is Rise of the Tomb Raider, but it's an Xbox One exclusive.
It's going to be coming over for a few Tomb Raider nights, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, I hate Daniel because he has an Xbox One and he can play Rise of the Tomb Raider, but he doesn't care about that game. And he hates me because I have a PS4 and I can play Street Fighter V and I don't care about that game. So.
We're even in the end.
Yeah.
Just we all get to share a little bit of pain.
You can hate me as much as you want, though, because I might get that game.
Well, I got a question for you guys, then. Another game that I've been looking forward to, but I guess because it was such an early release on PS3 that there's been a big disconnect. But Metal Gear Solid, the last chapter basically with Solid Snake. What do you guys think about that game?
Here's my problem with all of the Metal Gear game. Well, almost all of the Metal Gear games is I think it's harder for me. Okay, yeah, it's harder for me to control my character than it is to play the actual game for. Like, if there's a guy in front of me, it's harder for me to move in front of him and shoot him than it is the concept for me to shoot him. And that's the part where I start to just like, okay, well, fuck this game, and I just put it down.
See, and that's a good point because I think it has a lot to do with your style of gameplay. So like, I love that stealth style gameplay, And yeah. I think that's kind of the theme. You're not supposed to get in front of them. You're never yeah. supposed to be seen, you know?
Yeah.
So with I did that with The Last of Us. And I have friends that would get so pissed watching me play because I would sit in the damn shed for 15 straight minutes while I watch all of these clickers go around. And I'm watching the pattern, and I finally see it, and I'm like, okay. And as soon as I see the pattern, I'm like, kill, 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 kill. I'll do it right in a row, and I get them all. But I wait, and I've got buddies that just, they're like, what are you doing? They want to shake me because they're like, why are you just sitting there? But to me, that's tension. That tension, I couldn't play that game with the lights off. I'm like, no. I can hear the clicking. No, lights on. Just be quiet. Yeah.
Wait. Pause, break, turn the lights on.
That's right, don't it? Pause, exactly. Your clicker. Or I'd hit pause and put the controller down. It's like, I gotta go outside. I take a break.
All right. Yeah. Breather.
Yeah, I need a breather. So.
One more game I wanted to mention that's going to be coming out. I don't know if it's this year or next year. I honestly haven't looked it up. But Uncharted 4. What do y'all think?
I'm a fan.
I'm a huge fan of the entire Uncharted series. Like, they have always been. I mean, these games were created by Naughty Dog, which they also did a fantastic job with The Last of Us.
Yes.
And
that you're gonna say Crash Bandicoot.
They did do an awesome job of Crash Bandicoot.
You mean Crash Bandicoot Racing?
Oh, that one was great too. I like that one.
But I mean, like, I'm so excited for it, and it's just, I mean, because I played the first three, so
I don't think I played the third one. I played the first two, but I enjoyed them. I thought those were really good games, good stories. I loved the characters, you know. So yeah, I definitely did enjoy those. That's me though. Like you guys may, and I think it's good if we have a differing opinion. On this, but I have to have a story mode. I cannot play a game. I do not enjoy games where I get in and there is no like point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you like know? That's definitely where Naughty Dog shines.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the yeah, story. For sure.
Yeah, that's like that. Those are the games they put out. Well, I mean, at least more recently, that's the way they. Those are the games they put out.
Well, and even Ratchet and Clank, they put those out too, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think they did, and those, as quirky as they were, they had smart writing, they were funny.
Yeah,
you know, and so, you know, even if they looked like kids' games, cel shaded type stuff, they had more highbrow humor than a lot of people might give them credit for. So yeah, I think they've always had good writing. So
yeah, I totally agree with you there. I mean, well, with the Tomb Raider and Uncharted series, unfortunately, I was never able to get into those. And I think, actually, isn't Uncharted supposed to be a PlayStation exclusive? Hasn't it been a PlayStation exclusive?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it's always been a PlayStation exclusive.
Right. So that's probably why I haven't gotten to play it. But, because I don't have one. But I do agree with you on the Naughty Dog writers. Those guys are awesome. I mean, between Red Dead Redemption, that had a really compelling story.
It did.
Sucked into, as well as... of course, Uncharted and some of the others. But yeah, definitely by far some of the best writers out there.
One of the games that just came out that I'm... So now I'm starting to dive into games that are out. Okay, let me start off with saying I have always loved Dragon Ball Z ever since I was a little kid. Like ever since that anime, and I didn't even know it was an anime back then. I was a kid and I was just watching a TV show with people fighting in it.
Yeah.
we got Dragon Ball Xenoverse I think it was last week. It may have been the week before, and I don't know if I mean, but I know Stacey, you were just talking about how you don't really like fighting games. And I mean, honestly, I'm sort of the same way. I'm not really into fighting games. I play next to none, but I love Dragon Ball Z. So, I mean, just being able to play this game, it's pretty good. Like, they have an awesome story and the fighting is decent.
Because in previous Dragon Ball Z games, like, they're always like, you either get a good story and you get terrible fighting, or you get good fighting and a terrible story. So,
I was going to say, can I just interject and say, has there ever really been a good story in Dragon Ball Z? I say that in one, you know, I say that out of one side of my mouth. On the other side, I too kind of grew up watching the old Dragon Ball Z. I watched Dragon Ball too, like when Goku was little.
Yeah.
And then watched it through Dragon Ball Z. But it was kind of like, to me, a soap opera. If you watched the first episode and you watched the last episode, you got everything you needed to know. Because Frieza shows up. He whoops Goku's ass for literally like 13 episodes. In the last two episodes, Goku wins. You know, so it's like, you know, he Super Saiyans and kills him. And you're like, okay, well, if I just watch this first one where he shows up and then I see him Super Saiyan, I really got... Because they spend 5 minutes at the beginning of the show recapping the last show.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then they go and so... I don't know. I joke about that, but... I've never played any of the games. So.
I mean, I'm sure thousands of people would agree with the same thing, but everybody bashes on the same saga, which, I mean, it was the way it was written. I mean, I can't deny it.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Frieza saga where, you know, all of the characters got destroyed, and then, like, they would somehow rise back up, decide to fight again, and then they get destroyed again.
Yeah. They kind of did it to Piccolo, too. They did it when Piccolo first showed up.
Yeah.
I show my... That's like the gist, most of the anime that I really know. I know a little bit more, but, yeah. That's about the gist.
Well... So my last thing I definitely want to mention is Payday 2.
I knew it.
That one's got to be on the list.
I have to. I can't initiate the first Knights of the Game Table podcast without talking about Payday 2, and especially with what came out today. Okay. So let me begin. Let me start with some background, okay? So, people have heard me talk about this on previous podcasts many times, but Payday 2 is essentially, it's like a robbing simulator. You rob banks, you rob drug people, you rob stuff, and you kill a ton of cops in the process.
Thousands.
Right now they have a what they call a hype train event that started early in February that's going to be ending next week, next Thursday actually, where basically they came out with a few DLCs and they're just trying to see how much money they can raise. And along the way, depending on how much money they raise, they're going to give us more content for free. Right, for free, air quotations.
Yeah. If you give us more money, we'll give you things for free.
Right. At the same time, if we didn't donate, if we didn't pre-order the DLCs and whatever, then the content would still be released, but we would have to pay for it, is my understanding. So it has its draw either way, but... So anyway, what came out today, well, actually what came out earlier this week was, no, yesterday, was the Infamy update, which was basically Payday's version of Prestige. And the cap was level 5, so you could get level 5 and then up to level 100 in your fifth Infamy. And then they increased Infamy to 25. They're just like... Here's a shitload more levels. Keep playing the game.
Just dropped a nuke on the Infamy system.
Pretty much.
Yes. So basically, Marcus is going to be leveling up 2,500 times.
I mean, I don't know if y'all saw my article, but like, I wrote an article and everything about how I got to 5,100, and I was super psyched about it because it took me like 300 and something hours to get there.
Good grief.
And now they're just like, all right, here's 20 more Infamy levels. I was like, oh, crap.
There goes my life.
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't have anything else to do.
So I was playing Payday today, and then they're like, "Oh, you have an update queued." And I was like, "Okay, let me go ahead and install this." So, the DLCs that were available for pre-order were like one of them was like $6, and you could get a minigun and an RPG. And I mean, that's freaking cool. I want to blow some stuff up and then like spray a bunch of people down. and then there was like an upgraded version of that where you got like a bunch of like really cool masks and stuff like that, stuff that was more visual than anything else. And that was scheduled to come out next week. Today they were like, "Hey guys, here you go."
Wow.
Yeah, so I guess they were just super excited because we've actually reached the 9th destination in the hype train. There's like 10 destinations in all, so I guess they were just super excited about that, and they just gave us our DLC early. And I was just like, ah! Like the first thing I did was I equipped the minigun and I equipped the RPG and I went into a contract and I was just like, and I was like, yeah, this is so much fun.
Awesome.
I never felt more psychopathic.
And but, maybe it's about it at the same time.
Exactly.
There's cops in the game where that hold shields essentially, and they're, you know, like the only way to take them down is to either run behind them and shoot them, or you know, if you have a sniper, you can shoot through the shield. Or
never again.
It's kind of like a task to kill a shield, just because they have one. And now I can pull out my RPG and blow them to Timbuktu.
There you go.
Awesome, man.
So, anyway, that's just a game that I'm super passionate about, and I'm glad y'all gave me the time to just rant about it for a minute.
Absolutely. Well, Daniel, I was going to ask you a question, too. I don't know anything about this new Star Fox that's coming out, but I was a huge fan of it on the N64. What's up with that, as they say on SNL?
So, yeah, basically Star Fox, did you by chance play the 3DS version of Star Fox, the 64 remake?
I did not.
Okay, so it's going to be similar to that style of gameplay, but it's going to be controlled with the tablet controller. I'm sure there'll be other control schemes, but every time you see Miyamoto playing with it, he's holding the controller in front of his face and he's steering the ship with the controller. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that control scheme is going to work. But for the most part, from what I understand, it's going to play very similar to Star Fox 64.
Nice. Well, I always liked that game. That was a good game.
Yeah, by the way, I went ahead and downloaded that. Remember when I asked y'all what game I should download? Yeah, that was the one I went ahead and chose and downloaded. One thing I do want to kind of mention, has any of y'all ever heard of the game that was canceled called Star Wars 1313?
Yes, and I thought that game was going to be awesome. And then it got canceled.
I have a theory on that game, just being the Star Wars nerd that likes to ruin everything for myself as I am. I'll call it now, that story 1313 is going to be adapted for the Boba Fett movie. I think they're going to take a lot of the foundation of what they were going to do with his origin there, or that kind of like beginning bounty hunting. Because I don't know, did y'all ever play Bounty Hunter on the GameCube?
No, I did not.
It's
cool.
I'm telling you, if you haven't, go back and play it. One of the all-time best Star Wars games that's ever come out. You play as Jango Fett, and you get to shoot the missile out of the back of his jetpack. You get to use all of his gadgets, and you just get to be the most badass bounty hunter in the galaxy. And you're not a bad guy. You play an anti-hero. And so I think it's a lot how they're going to play Boba Fett, but I think that's my theory anyway, that they're going to use that game being scrapped. They're going to use some of those elements in the movie, the standalone movie.
Well, the game, when it was announced, I was like super excited, like most of you. I was I was like, holy crap, this game looks amazing. I mean, the screenshots and everything. And then it got canceled once, you know, LucasArts went under, when they closed doors of LucasArts. Well, a couple days ago, the interwebs have been reported that this game is actually, in fact, still going to be created.
Really?
They're talking about one article here on one website. I don't know who Amy Henning is, but apparently she is part of EA, and she is actually working on the game.
Oh, so it's going to be an EA game?
Well, it is Disney, and I don't know how Disney works with their games. Disney Interactive, I guess, would be their game division.
Well, I thought I guess they're not. Lucasfilm is still alive, but LucasArts, I guess, is not.
Yeah, they closed the doors of LucasArts.
Okay.
So, that's the rumor on the internet. That game is, we might be seeing that game, so I just thought I'd bring that out.
Well, are you holding your source as an anonymous for a reason, or do you, where did you find that information?
Well, the several websites, actually. The one I'm particularly reading, or the one that I have pulled up right now, is techgadgetnews.com.
Okay. I've seen it on Kotaku and IGN. Everything was telling you the other way, so that's interesting.
Basically, with this article, I'll just read the first part of it here. Star Wars HQ has reported that a Star Wars diversion being planned by Amy Henning, being penned by Amy Henning, is indeed Star Wars 1313. Henning, in a talk with Game Informer, stated that... hang on. This is kind of weird how it's written. She discerned a gossip that they are on an operative to open up a universe Han Solo Boba Fett playing game. Game Informer believes that Henning is indeed the operative on a division formed on Star Wars 1313.
Apparently, she's a writer for Uncharted as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just watched a trailer for it, and it looked actually similar to Uncharted in a different setting. The gameplay is. Yeah.
In a galaxy far, far away?
Yeah. So Uncharted, but in a galaxy far, far away.
Anyway, if this game comes out, I will be, like, super, super, super impressed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does say here, Henning was a lead author behind the critically acclaimed Uncharted series. EA could have really good altered their mind after Henning left Naughty Dog and resurrected a project.
Well... her Twitter feed has a ton of Star Wars references on it. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't give you any reason to think that it's, you know, any one game in particular, but a ton of Star Wars references on there.
She is now followed on Twitter.
So, do y'all guys have any remaining games you'd like to bring up before we conclude?
Well... this is a game that has always been very dear to my heart, and I feel that I need to share it, even if everybody else hates it for its difficulty. But Dark Souls 1 and 2 has forever been
one
of my favorite games.
Just playing.
Oh, man. Dude. Those games. I mean, unfortunately, the lore is interesting, but, you know, it's definitely not a game that's designed to tell you a story. It's a game that's designed to kick your butt over and over and over again.
What I like about the story, though, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'll let you finish. But I just want to say what I like about the story is you have to find the story.
Right.
Like you can if you want that, you can find it. If you don't, you can just play it. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of an optional thing. And yeah, they are actually pretty interesting. Like you can go through and find little nitpicks and stuff about, you know, why the world is the way it is. But I have thoroughly enjoyed those games. Those games are definitely two that are definitely my play style. I like this a lot.
I enjoyed them. They were hard, but I did enjoy them. It's that kind of masochistic experience.
Yes. Yes.
Did y'all finish both of them?
I haven't. Actually, there's a DLC for number two that I was thinking about playing. But I have to say, the boss battles in games like that, that's the way that I think all boss battles should be. Like, every battle is unique. And there is a certain strategy that has to be used to defeat whatever you're fighting, or else you're going to die over and over and over again. And I feel like a lot of games these days have been straying from that and have been making it, like, just push over easy you know, or just like they leave too many loopholes to just avoid, I guess, the hard way to do it. And you just, I don't know, you find some glitch to take it out and cheat. But Dark Souls, I feel like if every game had boss battles like Dark Souls or Dragon's Dogma, actually, it's also true of them, from what I've heard. But boss battles, yeah, they did them like Dark Souls, they would all be awesome.
I would agree. The first boss, and I think it was Dark, which, I don't know, those of you that have Xbox 360, which one was the free downloadable game on Xbox? Was it Dark Souls 1 or 2?
I didn't know that they made it free.
Oh, yeah, 1 month. I have it on my Xbox.
Oh, yeah, I think they made Dark Souls 1 for free.
Must have been. That's probably Dark Souls 1. Yeah. It probably when 2 came out or something.
Yeah, I think it was. And so I downloaded it and had no experience with it before, had only heard, you know, it was a challenging game, to say the least. And it was a very enjoyable challenge, one of those hard games. Not yeah. hard like Ghouls and Goblins or Ghosts and Goblins. Did you ever play that?
Mm-mm, never played that one.
The old Nintendo or...
that game was so impossible.
It is impossible, and if you finished it, I call you a liar. It's just like there's no way you finish it because you can't get past... You can only get hit, I think, twice. And then you die, and you
lose your armor. Then you're naked, and if you get hit while you're naked, you're dead.
And so, and then you get like 3 lives, and if you don't do that, no matter how far you are in the game, you go back. There's no continues. There's nothing.
Wow.
So
yeah,
it reminded me a little bit. That's the not fun challenge. fun challenge was Dark Souls. I did enjoy that. That was definitely a good challenge.
Yeah, it's a very rewarding game. I mean, you have to give it to them because they've designed the system well, even though it does pound you into the ground, you know, over and over and over again. And sometimes you want to just like tear through a wall. You're so upset about all of those souls that you just lost, but, they reward you really well. And so it just, I don't know. There's something so satisfying about that, overcoming a challenge and then being given, you know, this very satisfactory reward afterwards is just really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, the last game I wanted to mention that I'm playing right now, this is the only one that I'm playing right now that I'll mention, is a free game that you can download, and that usually is a big red flag. but I will redeem it by saying it is a Blizzard game. And this is Hearthstone.
Yes.
Hearthstone is the most, if Payday is addictive for Marcus, this is my kryptonite. I have it on my work computer. It is. I can get knock out a couple games at lunch, kind of like you were saying.
That's great.
It's one of those games where there's a bit of luck involved, and even if you're the most skilled player, that there's only so much you can do because there is that bit of chance still. But there's skill involved. You don't have to purchase anything. There's no, you know, but there are benefits, obviously, to doing some purchases. But it's not a game where you have to purchase to win, you know. But anyway,
a more recreational version of League of Legends.
Well, to explain it for anybody that hasn't played it, it's a card game. So
yeah, I was gonna say
it's like Magic. It's Magic.
Oh,
it's like Magic,
gotcha.
It's Magic the Gathering, basically. Only it's simplified. And to me, it's much more enjoyable because even though it's simple, it doesn't make it easy. There are still metrics involved, and you know, the geek gods are out there crunching the numbers and finding out the best synergy in the cards, figuring out things that the game designers didn't even think of, and putting these, because I liked card games like that. I mean, I was definitely, I'd say, a big time closet geek where My buddies, when I wasn't playing football or whatever else at practice, we'd be back at the house doing tabletop gaming or, you know, playing Magic the Gathering. And I sucked at Magic. I mean, I was just brutal, but I liked it. I'd get my ass handed to me all the time, but I would watch these guys and they had like fantastic decks, and how do you build it? I build mine like a big dummy. And so anyway, I enjoy that game. If you haven't played it, you know, it's really simple to get into, and the tutorial games where you're learning and you get the first class of character. If you've never played WoW, it doesn't hurt you, but if you have, there's so much more to the game because all the cards are NPC characters or big lore characters from the game. So, it's a lot of fun. If you haven't played it, you should try.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I've always thought about trying it out. I just haven't ever got around to ever downloading the game.
I just downloaded it.
And now that time for another addiction. Marcus is never going to play it.
Exactly. I was going to say, if you want another addiction, just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I put down Dragon Ball Xenoverse, and I'm like, all right, it's payday time.
You got, like, yeah, Xenoverse last week, and then payday's like, oh, okay, everything's ready.
Marcus it's like, the gaming, this gaming game. Industry like, finally rewarded me.
That's great.
All right, well, guys, Daniel, did you have any last words?
Oh, 13-13 was my last word.
13-13. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Knights of the Game Table podcast. I want to thank Daniel and Stacy and Nate for joining me on this episode. Stay tuned at templeofgeek.com for the next all-new episode. And as always, thanks for listening.
Please follow us on Twitter at Temple of Geek. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/templeofgeek. And remember to visit thetempleofgeek.com, your one stop for all things geek. Congratulations! This story is a happy ending. Thank you.